listening to CMDA Matters, the weekly podcast of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. Here's your host, Dr. Mike Chubb.
Well, thank you, Jamie. You know, when this episode of CMDA Matters comes out, I will actually be on site in Orlando, Florida, for the annual Prescription for Renewal Medical Missions Conference hosted by our friends at Samaritan's Purse and World Medical Mission. I'll actually be speaking during this conference, and a few of our staff from CMDA will also be exhibiting. So if you're attending, make sure to come by and say hi. For our longtime listeners of CMDA Matters, you know that hearing about or reading about one of our CMDA friends who has lived a life on mission cross-culturally, it gets me very excited as a former healthcare missionary. And as I've said many times on the podcast, healthcare missions is an integral part of our cultural DNA here within the ministry of CMDA. Our vision as an organization is bringing the hope and healing of Christ to the world through healthcare professionals. So today I'm excited to introduce you to Dr. Brad and Naomi Quist. They are career healthcare missionaries who recently retired and returned to the United States, and it was our privilege to honor them at this year's CMDA National Convention with the 2024 Missionaries of the Year Award. During our recent convention, I took the opportunity to sit down with Brad and Naomi to hear more about their journey in long-term career missions. I also got to hear some of the incredible ways that God prepared them and then worked through their commitment to following His unmistakable call for them during different seasons of their lives that took them around the world. So let's listen in and hear more from Dr. Brad and Naomi Quist. Well, today on CMDA Matters, I have the wonderful opportunity to be sitting with Brad and Naomi Quist. Brad is a physician, and remind our listeners again your background, your specialty training, Brad.
My training is family medicine. I trained with the U.S. Navy and went through medical school on a Navy scholarship, and after that into missions.
Naomi, tell our listeners your background in terms of education, practice, profession.
I have a bachelor's of education from Calvin University in teaching Spanish,
okay,
and then also a master's in teaching Spanish.
Wow, which came in handy later on for,
yes,
for your careers, obviously. So last night, Brad and Naomi received the Missionary of the Year Award, an award that's given by CMDA and has been for probably at least a quarter of a century each year. And this award is selected by one of our six commissions called the Continuing Medical Dental Education Commission that hosts training for global workers come together and in Southeast Asia or in Southern Europe, or used to be in East Africa and Kenya where I was serving, and well attended. That conference just finished here, I think actually yesterday, in Greece, with about 800 in attendance. And it's that commission that gets together once a year and decides on who they would like to honor. Now, the types of folks that are involved and get this award usually say, we would rather not have this Missionary of the Year status. Would you agree that's the case, Brad?
Yes, yes. Now, there's so many good candidates, people who have served longer and sacrificed more. My wife and I have been able to participate in the CMDA CME commissions since 1993. So it's been about 30 years worth of meetings, and we've met folks in Asia as well as in Africa and Europe and the Middle East. And to hear their stories and their testimonies, it's just amazing to hear them, but also then to be considered one of them, to be chosen by the commission to be here and be an ambassador, if you will, at the National Convention.
Tell us about God's call for both of you. Did it come about the same time, or did it come separately as you were thinking about cross-cultural international service for the kingdom of God?
Well, I think a calling has to be for both husband and wife. That's true. I can't really say it came at the same time. My calling to medicine came first, but soon after that, I remember specifically, I was entering into my senior year at Calvin University, and God put it on my heart to take another language, to take specifically Spanish.
Wow.
And I had already completed all of my requirements for my major. I didn't need another language. I was a chemistry major. And yet God said, no, take Spanish. And then in the spring, just before graduation, I was aware a lot of my friends were going off on vacations before they went to professional school or got a job. And there was this opportunity to do short-term missions work with Latin American missions in Mexico City. And I said, well, this will be a great way to take a break, but also to solidify the Spanish that God had led me to speak all this year. At the time, knowing that he was calling me to be a doctor, and that was really all I knew. While I was there in Mexico City, at that time one of the largest cities in the world, over 20 million people, I was asked to give a message, to preach in Spanish in this largest city of the world. And that's when God said to me, Brad, I'm calling you to be a doctor, yes, but I'm calling you to be a doctor in a language and a culture that are not your own. And that's when it became clear to me he was calling me to missions. Now, Naomi's story is a little bit different because we were dating at the time, and I said to her, look, you know, God seems to be calling me to missions, and if this is not how you see yourself, then maybe we shouldn't continue. And at the time she responded, yes, I think that I could do that. But the real confirmation, from what I recall, was a second visit to the mission field as a family medicine resident. And at that time...
Were you guys together at the time?
We were. We traveled together. Uh-huh. We were married by that time, halfway through medical school. Mm-hmm. We were together on the field. I was doing a rotation again with a CMDA scholarship as a third-year family medicine resident. And at that time, retired President Abe Vanderpoy with his wife Marge were there, but I recognized her. This was not just Marge Vanderpoy. This was Marge Saint Vanderpoy, the widow of Nate Saint, who had been killed in the late 50s with Jim Elliot at the hands of the Huadani, the Auca Indians. Mm-hmm. And I said to Naomi, talk to her. She knows the best of missions, being married to the president, but also the most difficult of having your husband die on the field. Talk to her, and then you will understand what the calling of being a missionary wife is. And I'll let Naomi tell.
Yeah, Naomi, tell us, like, when were things solidified? I remember arriving short term with my wife, and I was doing a lot of prayer, like, let her not feel forced to do this, just because she sees how much of a passion is for me.
Well, actually, it began in high school, and I was studying Spanish. And I worked at like a Bible school with migrant kids, and there weren't other Spanish-speaking people in our village. And I was just like, I fell in love with them, and I felt led to study Spanish in college and university and then get my master's, which wasn't very common back then. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We were kind of not like the normal majors. But when I met Marge Saint, I said, in this little village in the middle of the jungle, I said, I just don't know if I can be happy here. And she said, that's not the question. The question is, where does God want you to serve him?
Mm-hmm. And so what happened then?
Well, then it changed my viewpoint.
Okay.
And I thought, you know, I can do this. I can do this.
And certainly love for Spanish for both of you played a role, I'm sure. You told us a story last night about about finding a watch band. Yes, you had broken your watch band and you found it as you're coming off a box that had a brand new one. And the immediate place my mind went to, Brad, when you told that story, is how God knows how to send distinct, clear messages.
Yes.
To each one of us. He spoke to me what I would call, what Eric Metaxas calls, the secret language of the heart.
Yes.
Your heart.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly right. In fact, the call to medicine for me was that way. I was at 11 years old, and I remember adults would ask, Brad, what do you want to be when you grow up? They always ask this question to kids. And it bothered me because the fact that they were asking me the question said to me, there must be an answer. And I wasn't certain about what that answer was. And so one night, I just got down on my knees and I prayed to God, God, you have gifted me to do well in school. I could be a teacher, an engineer, a lawyer, but I don't want to be what I want to be, God. God, I want to be what you want me to be. Tell me what it is. And with your help, that's what I will do. Mm-hmm. And that's when he put it on my heart, one day you will be a doctor. And then years later, yes, you will be a doctor, but it will be in a language and a culture that's not your own. And eventually it was to Shell, Ecuador. But then after that, it was to Central Asia.
Act two is Asia.
And so this idea that God's calling is one thing, it's a static thing, is not true.
Right.
One thing leads to another, leads to another. And so we, all our lives, we need to be open and listening to God's call, because he is speaking to us. But one thing I warn young people about, be very careful when you seek God's will. Because so many times we'll say, God, I'll serve you if I can live here. I'll serve you if I can marry this kind of spouse. I'll serve you if I can do this kind of work. And pretty soon, all you're really doing is asking God to approve your choices mm-hmm. for your life. If you are going to ask God's will, then you need to be willing to put everything on the table, because it could be that he calls you to some place like Central Asia. And are you ready to hear the answer to that question? It's a big decision. Don't ask the question if you aren't ready for the answer.
So how did you determine, so Act One in Ecuador, Shell and Hospital in Quito, Hospital Los Andes,
yes.
I believe it's
yes.
called.
Yes.
Act One, that was for how many years?
Well, Act One was Shell, and that was for about 7 years, and then another 7 or 8 years in Quito. Part of that is circumstances, right? The Shell school where our children were attending only went to the eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't feel comfortable sending our kids off to a boarding school for high school, so we moved together as a family to stay together as a family. And that's where God challenged me to be more than just a physician, but to be a teacher of physicians. Became actively involved in the residency training program in Quito. But then our agency was looking at sort of divesting itself of all of the infrastructure in Latin America, wanting to grow in other parts of the world. And I said, I don't want to be working in something that's shrinking. I want to be in part of something that's growing. Send me anywhere. And God said, I have another language for you to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, God, please don't let it be Chinese, the hardest language I could think of. And he said, no, actually, it's Russian.
Mm.
And so he led us to Central Asia to study Russian and be a part of what he was doing there.
And that has been for how long?
The last 12 years now.
Okay.
Yes.
And you're continuing on? Are you home on break now? Or has that ministry come to a conclusion, an end?
Well, the ministry itself, God willing, will continue onwards.
Mm-hmm.
He has set up wheels in motion that we're expecting great things. New clinics opening not only in one country, but in neighboring countries. Our vision is that all of the former Soviet Union would one day be impacted by the work that's going on there. Very exciting, majority Muslim countries. But God has called Naomi and I home, at least for a time. And that's because of aging parents with increasing needs, as well as young grandchildren who also need their grandparents to speak into their lives. I think I maybe shared with you the story of Jesus confronting the Pharisees, where he said to them, you Pharisees, you give all of your money to the temple, and you have nothing to give to your parents. You hypocrites, you're breaking the law that says honor your father and your mother. And I felt convicted by that story. I'm giving all of my years and all of my life to missions, and yet here are my parents who need me. And so at least for this time, I feel like it is God's timing for us to be off the field. Part of us is sad. We are sad.
Of course.
Because things are going well and continue to go well. But part of us feels, you know what? If everything just depended on me, then it really was not a sustainable, much less reproducible ministry. And that's what we're trying to create here.
Yeah. And Naomi, along the way, talk to me about some highlights from your ministry time in Ecuador.
In Ecuador, I actually helped. There was a small mission school in Shell, Ecuador. And so I helped in the kids' classrooms, teaching different things, helping like a teacher's aide from time to time. And also was very involved with hospitality. We had a lot of visiting doctors come short terms.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved showing them around and just helping them feel comfortable and getting them settled in. And then also we were involved with small groups. We had the residents come over for meals. And we had a Bible study with them. And then we also were in a small group at a church.
I assume there were also some family responsibilities,
I'm guessing. Yes, yes. So we enjoyed raising our two children there. And there was the school had about 35 students in it. And so it was like a family atmosphere. We still keep in touch with our friends that were missionaries there from those days.
You know, Brad, when we met, you had invested quite a bit of time in training other missionaries and introducing ACLS training into these the CMD, the commission. Tell me about impact of that training, in your opinion, over the years.
Well, I actually, my first CMD-CME meeting was while I was still in the U.S. Navy. I was stationed in Guam. I became aware of what was going on at that time in Malaysia, later moved to Thailand. And so I said, what a great way to get CME, and it's cheaper than going back to the U.S., and the Navy was happy to foot the less expensive option. Uh-huh. And so went there in 93, saw Marvin Jewell teaching BLS, and I said, Marvin, we could do ACLS. And he said, well, next time you come around, let's try it. And so came back in 95, taught the ACLS class, and it's been going ever since. Since then, brought a friend of mine who introduced the PALS, the Pediatric Advanced Life Support, later also was introduced. All of those things began with Marvin Jewell's BLS classes. At the same time, I was asked to be involved with the community development stream. Eventually served as dean for a time of the C stream. It's a great opportunity, not just for teaching, which is important, we all need our CME, but also to encourage and compare notes. How does things work for you in North Africa? How are things working for you in Southeast Asia? And how does that compare with what's going on in Central Asia? We learn from each other, we dialogue. I think the best part of those meetings is actually what happens at the dinner table.
Before we continue with this week's episode, here's a special announcement for you. Are you registered yet for the 2025 CMDA National Convention? We will be gathering just outside St. Louis in St. Charles, Missouri, as we learn about how God is calling us to be a spoke in the wheel for Christ in healthcare. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer famously said, we are not to simply bandage the wounds of victims beneath the wheels of injustice. We are to drive a spoke into the wheel itself. Our speakers include Ambassador Sam Brownback, Aaron Hawley from Alliance Defending Freedom, Professor John Wyatt, and more. You don't want to miss this event, so register now at natcon.cmda.org. For those of us who are called to healthcare through our relationship with Jesus Christ, our question should not be if we are living on mission, but rather where and how we are doing it. Wherever you are in your healthcare journey, we have ways to equip you to live on mission each and every day. If you have any questions about how to get started, learn more through CMDA's Center for Advancing Healthcare Missions at cmda.org/cam. That's C-A-H-M. Let's jump right back into this week's episode.
So obviously a very versatile career in family medicine from Shalmara and Vosandes, which were different, and in one place probably not doing any kind of advanced medical training while you did that in Quito. Doing training in Russian that you were in your most recent post?
Exactly right. And maybe our approach to medical missions is a little bit different than it is in other places. We try to be a witness in the 15 to 30 minutes that we have with our patients, understanding that we may never see them again, or if we do, it will be months or years from now. But our real focus was really on the local doctors, the residents in family medicine, that were essentially a captive audience for anywhere from 2 months to 2 years. Mm-hmm. When they spent time with us, they saw that we cared about them, that we wanted them to be successful in their professions, and they often would ask to extend longer and longer with us. Some of them had an understanding of Christianity and maybe even were sympathetic, but many were firm Muslims from strong Muslim families. And so the challenge was, how do you share your faith in an environment that is inherently antagonistic towards Christianity, the idea that Jesus is the Son of God and He is the Savior of the world? And so how I would approach that as I'm teaching these residents is to explain that, look, a person is not just a physical machine. We are emotional and spiritual as well. And many times patients would bear this out in spades. Mm-hmm. They would be depressed or anxious. Their back pain had nothing to do with anything structurally wrong with their back or their headaches. It was clearly an emotional and a spiritual thing. And what I would say to them, to the patient, look, you need to find a reason to get out of bed in the morning. And one day, one of the Muslim residents said, Dr. Brad, what is your reason for getting out of bed in the morning?
Open door, yes.
And there's your open door. If a local person asks you a question, then you are free to answer. You're not pushing something down their throat. They asked you a legitimate question. And I say, I have a relationship with the creator of the universe, a God who loves me and has a plan for me, for good and not for evil, for a future and a hope. And the other resident, who happened to be a believer, said, that's a verse from the Bible. And I said, yes, it is. Look it up, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. And so we had this dialogue about how God feels about us, because just like for many Christians, the Muslims also see God as an angry God who's ready to judge them and consider them to be insufficient, inadequate, unworthy of a relationship with him. And to explain to them, look, we can never be good enough for a perfect God. But that's what Jesus does for us. He takes away our sins. He makes us whiter than snow so that we are able to have this relationship with a perfect God. Now, you have to be careful. Some people, they're looking at the ceiling, they're looking at the floor, they're looking at anything but you, and you know it's time to stop the conversation. Mm-hmm. They're uncomfortable. But there are others whose eyes are open wide, and they're just wanting to hear more, and that's when you keep going.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4 about God, you know, like shines light, shines light into their hearts.
Yes.
Let's go back to Quito. You know, you had residents, family medicine residents there, and communicating in Spanish, which we were both comfortable with. In terms of heart transformations there, were they Catholic background?
Yes.
Any of them at all evangelical believers that you got to train?
Well, yes, there certainly were. And we were known as an evangelical program. And so we naturally attracted people. Of course, we had the same standards for everyone. We didn't make exceptions if you were an evangelical believer. You still had to meet the same medical standards. And we had that advantage. They were salt and light, literally, among the majority who were, for the most part, nominal, not even particularly committed to their Catholic faith. But it was easier in the sense that December 25th was Christmas. Everybody knew that. In Central Asia, not so much.
Yes.
If you were willing to use the Catholic version of the Bible, which is acceptable, then we could have Bible studies and look at God's Word together and say, so is this just a history of something that happened thousands of years ago? Or is this God's Word speaking to us today? And they knew what the correct answer to that question was. But they had not, up until that point, thought about, this is God speaking to me today. And so what are you hearing and what are you going to do about it? Mm. It was a different stage in terms of evangelism and discipleship.
So Brad or Naomi, for those listening today, whether young or older, that have contemplated, maybe felt God in the past or even right now working on their hearts in terms of a willingness to serve in the way that you've served for a number of years, what would you suggest as a step for exposure? You had it in Mexico City, obviously,
yes.
You described. And Naomi, I'm not sure, your first exposure, was that with Brad the first time or otherwise?
No, actually, after I graduated from Calvin University, I took a year off and I went to Mexico and tutored a child and a missionary family and spent the year there because I wanted to learn my Spanish better. And then I went on to graduate school. So that was really... that really made a difference in my life.
It opened your eyes,
yes,
didn't it?
Yes.
So what would you recommend to whether they're a healthcare professional, medical school, dental school, or in residency now in terms of recommending an experience like you had in Mexico City? And is a week enough, is a month enough in your opinion?
Well, our medical schools are set up with a curriculum. The first year is what's normal. Second year is what's abnormal, pathological. Third year is what are you going to do about it? Your fourth year is where you start spending time in the areas where you think you might want to specialize. pediatrics, OBGYN, whatever it is. If you're thinking that God is calling you to be a missionary, then your fourth year, at least one or two of those months should be on the mission field, just like you would spend time in labor and delivery if you felt called to be an obstetrician. I would highly recommend that. At the same time, before you make a decision to commit to one or another agency, one or another location, go there, spend some time there, bring your spouse and, if possible, your entire family there. See how things are set up before you make that final decision. What they say on paper and what things actually are sometimes not the same thing.
Right.
And so I'd encourage you, before you commit, go and spend some time there.
So we were both at IU my fourth year at Indiana. I spent a couple of years at Tenwick Hospital, where sure. eventually God called me back. And in those days, I mean, scholarships were available, but not, you know, ubiquitous. And I had to raise my own funds to about $2,000 or $3,000. Today, there is no excuse. I just want our listeners to know there is no excuse. The CMDA has so many different scholarships and so much funding available. In fact, here at this national convention, I have run into some students as well as some campus advisors who've told me stories about so many different students who've got received $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 from one of our endowment funds, mission endowment funds, to go be on mission and experience it firsthand. And even if God doesn't call them to be missionaries, the experience is transformative.
Yes.
No matter what final specialty and location for practice in the kingdom of God.
Yes. Well, we're called to be ambassadors for his kingdom wherever we are. And we're finding as many opportunities to be missionaries right in West Michigan as we were on the field. Every day patients come in and you're looking at these faith flags, and it actually makes it easier. At least I don't have to do it in Russian speaking with these patients to say, I noticed that cross that's hanging there. What does that mean to you? Mm. Or others who have said, you know, I just really am so glad that you're a Christian, that you're my doctor and that you're a Christian. In many cases, the relief just shows on their face when they find out that you're a believer just like they are. The opportunities are endless. And being in missions kind of focuses your vision to say, why are we here really in terms of making a difference for the kingdom of God?
Question that I know both of you will answer is, your own walk with Christ, how did you practice that and make sure that it remained a vital part of who you were day in and day out, week in and week out, year in and year out?
Well, actually, in Central Asia, I could just sense God's presence with me extra every day because it was a dark place. Mm-hmm. But because his presence was around me, I only sensed his light, and other people could too. And so it attracted, I hung out with all the different people that worked at the clinic, the women, and would take them for breakfast or lunch, or we'd go hiking, or we'd have a luncheon for the women in the clinic. And they were attracted to Jesus's presence. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to, I mean, I just showed them love, and I had an open...
You were radiating him.
Yes, I was radiating him.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Brad?
I challenge missionaries. Sometimes I see that they don't go to the local church where we're living. Oh, my church is back in the United States. That's where I go to church. And I say to people, you know, we are part of the body of Christ. We need to connect with the body of Christ wherever we are. Our church is not 2,000 miles away. It's here. And if you can't find an adequate place to worship in the community, well, then you need to make one. But the idea of gathering together with the body of believers wherever you are to be held accountable, but also to spur one another on to love and good works. That was very critical to our ministry wherever we were, even in Central Asia, to stay connected right there in the community where you are, but having a healthy prayer life as well. Hardly a moment goes by where I'm saying, even for this interview today, God, give me the words that I need.
Yeah,
all the time asking for God, help me with this next patient. I know it's going to be a difficult conversation. Always being in dialogue in prayer with our Heavenly Father. These are the things that keep us going.
Brad, you said you're never done. So what's next? What's next? What's happening next for you, for the quiz?
Well, as I said, we're in West Michigan for the sake of my parents and our grandchildren. And for this season, that's where we will be. People have already said, well, come and do this and come and do that. But no, we need to be geographically located there in West Michigan. But where God leads in years to come, what that looks like, God only knows. I've often compared living a life of following God's will is like riding a roller coaster in the dark. You don't see what's coming, and there may be some sudden turns along the way, but you always know you'll get home safely.
For each one of you, what's life's verse or scripture that just keeps coming back, cycling through your heart and in your life?
Well, I have different ones. I actually have my Bible open on my table now, and I highlight a verse every day during my devotion time. But God is good is one of my recent ones.
And for me, I've already said it, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, for good and not for evil, for a future and a hope. To know that God not only loves us, but he has a plan for us.
Well, we at CMDA are just grateful that you are incredible examples and ambassadors for what it's like to have walked with the Lord in different cultures and followed his call and found joy and fulfillment. And he has blessed you. And I know you would have been perfectly content if you'd never received the Missionary of the Year Award from CMDA, but we're delighted we could do that and recognize you this year at the National Convention. So both of you, God bless you and lead you step by step, day by day, and in these times to be able to care for your and honor your father and mother, as you've said.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks.
What a privilege it was to recognize Dr. Brad and Naomi Quist at this year's CMDA National Convention as our Missionaries of the Year. You know, God is doing such incredible things through organizations just like ours all around the globe. This morning, I got a text from fellow CEO Dr. Chima Onoka in Nigeria, and just in 2 weeks, they're having their national convention, and hear this, 2,300 grads and students and residents will be gathering together there in Nigeria for CMDA in Nigeria. Isn't that amazing? Well, if you want to watch a video and learn more about the Missionary of the Year Award and the cross-cultural work that the Quists have been doing in their careers, you can just go to cmda.org/awards. For our listeners who want to learn more about or who do feel drawn to healthcare missions and want to follow in the footsteps of Brad and Naomi, then this announcement is for you. Now is the time to register for the 2024 Global Missions Healthcare Conference, which around here we call GMHC. This is the world's largest gathering of healthcare professionals, students, and organizations which are dedicated to healthcare missions. And it features breakout sessions, many great plenary speakers, over 150 exhibitors, and other special events. This year's event is scheduled for November 7th through the 9th at Southeast Christian Church in Louisville, Kentucky. And when you get there, be sure to look for the CMDA neighborhood on the main floor there in the exhibit hall. We'd love to introduce you to a variety of ways that you can use your skills to serve others around the world. Visit cmda.org/events if you'd like more information and to register. And by the way, if you're planning to serve in medium or long-term healthcare missions and you have a target departure date within the next 5 years, then we invite you to CMDA's pre-field orientation for new healthcare missionaries. This year, that training is scheduled for November 4th through the 7th, 2024, again, at Southeast Christian Church in Louisville, Kentucky, the same venue and the same week as GMHC. Join fellow outgoing healthcare missionaries and veteran missionary faculty for 4 days of critical preparation for the field. This gathering will provide you with invaluable tools and knowledge, as well as relationships that will help you to thrive during your transition to life on the mission field. My all-time favorite talk to give, and I enjoy giving it during this training, is called Keeping Spiritual Ministry Alive When Patient Care Demands Your All. If you'd like more information and to register, just visit cmda.org/events.
CMDA is excited to announce a new opioid and substance use disorder and treatment course now available in the CMDA Learning Center. The 2023 MATE Act requires prescribers to complete at least 8 hours of continuing education on substance use disorder assessment and treatment before their new DEA renewal. This new course in the Learning Center includes 4 modules that satisfy this requirement for most U.S.-based prescribers. Plus, it is a one-of-a-kind, whole-person addiction course, which integrates faith and science in approaching and treating addiction. And even better, it's free for CMDA members. For more information, visit cmda.org/learning.
Before we close, let me share just a few announcements with you. CMDA's Center for Wellbeing has several upcoming training courses that I think would be beneficial for you. First is to sign up for Life and Leadership Coaching, and our highly experienced professional coaches are trained to help you clarify what matters, as well as to set and reach your goals, to grow with God, and to move out of burnout and much more. Reach out for a free exploratory call by emailing coaching@cmda.org. My second announcement is the fall session of the popular CMDA Coaching Training Program. This continuing education qualified course will equip you with the mindset and skills of coaching. You can go on to become a certified coach or simply use these highly applicable skills in your personal as well as your professional life. Please act soon to claim your spot in our next CMDA coaching course, which is being held on Tuesday evenings from September 24th through October 29th. Space is limited, so visit cmda.org/coaching to reserve your spot today. And third is the Mentoring with a Coach Approach training. Registration is now open for live online options in August and October. Space again is limited, so act soon to claim your spot. For more information, you can register at cmda.org/wellbeing. Well, next Thursday, Lord willing, I'll be back with a special recording from the 2024 CMDA National Convention. Ambassador Morse Tan served as the very first ever in U.S. history Asian American ambassador at large. He was mitigating and seeking accountability and justice throughout the world for mass atrocity crimes. We were actually privileged to have him speak for CMDA's House of Representatives during the convention, and I'm glad that we were able to capture that talk for our podcast listeners. You know, throughout my conversation with Brad and Naomi, I kept thinking about the verses that we included at the beginning of their award citation, and those are from Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 and 36, where it says, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction." And if you ever come to visit us here in Bristol at our national office, you'll immediately see a beautiful fireplace. It fills up a whole wall, and on that mantle is engraved Luke 9, verse 2. "And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." Dr. Brad and Naomi Quist are just one couple who are in a long line of CMDA members since the 1930s. Those who've been convicted and called out by this very example from Jesus, and who have followed in his footsteps to go throughout all the cities and serve across the world through cross-cultural healthcare missions. Let them be an example for us today as we bring the hope and healing of Christ to all of our world. That's what matters to CMDA, friends, and CMDA matters. We'll see you next week, God willing.
Thanks for listening to CMDA Matters. If you would like to suggest a future guest or share a comment with us, please email cmdamatters@cmda.org. And if you like the podcast, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and share it on your favorite social media platform. This podcast has been a production of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members, and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.